turn this morning, Mark chapter 14, and I'm thankful to have another opportunity. Mark chapter 14, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the good singing, the good spirit. Thank you for each one that's gathered here today. Lord, we celebrate your resurrection, and we're thankful that you died and rose again, that we can have life. Lord, we love you. I pray this morning that you will search our hearts, try our thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in us. Lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will do what I cannot possibly do. I pray you'll move up and down the aisles and speak to hearts. Lord, do something of eternal value. Lord, I pray that just for a little while this morning that you'll meet with us, that you'll lift up Jesus Christ and exalt him. And Lord, if there's anything in our life you're not pleased with, I pray you'll put your finger on it. Lord, help us to do more for you as we see the day approaching when you're coming. Help us, O God. We desire you. We depend upon you. I pray now that you'll glorify Jesus. And whatever you do, we'll praise you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen
and amen. Well, I wore my watch this morning, so I promise I'll get you out of here on time. I didn't realize last night I might have went a little long, but I enjoyed it. It was good for me. It may not have helped you, but it was good for me. Mark chapter 14, I read in a bulletin once on an Easter Sunday where in the bulletin it said, today being Easter Sunday, we're going to ask Mrs. Jones to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. So I hope nobody does that this morning. They may have been insinuating she was an old hen. I don't know. Mark chapter 14. We'll begin in verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And so I'm preaching this morning for a little while on the subject, she hath done what she could. And I want to say, first of all, this is not an accusation. I don't know anybody here. I don't know what you do or don't do. It's between you and God if you've done what you could. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to leave it in his hands, and I'm preaching to myself this morning. The Lord's already pointed some things out while I was studying on this subject. And so I'm going to preach to myself, and hopefully, if the Lord speaks to you, he'll help you. You may need some encouragement. I don't know what you need this morning. But I hope more than anything else, you'll get head over heels in love with him and just get into his service and just go all out and give him all you got, because we're getting closer and closer to the Lord coming. And certainly, as Lester Roloff sang many years ago when I first got saved, and I went to a meeting where he was, and he sang a song, Must I Go and Empty-Handed? And he sang that, and as he sang, I made my mind up then, I'm not going home empty-handed. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ, and if the world loves me, that's good. If they don't love me, and I'm sure they won't, that'll be just as good. They didn't save me. They didn't call me. The world didn't die for me. Fact is, it was Jesus Christ that shed his precious blood and purchased me, and I certainly was not worthy and never could be, but because of that, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm part of him. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I'm seated together in Christ in heavenly places. I'm just good in heaven with the door shut, and you pardon me, if I was able, I'd take a running fit about right now. So Jesus Christ is what it's all about. That's why we celebrate on this day the resurrection. It's all about him. And I know there's going to be a lot of activities involved and a lot of things today that people are going to be involved with, but don't forget, he is what it's all about. She hath done what she could. Now, I don't know about you, but I of my own self, I'll confess that I haven't done all that I could do. I'm guilty. And I need to fix that. And I've prayed about it since I've been studying on this subject. And so I hope this morning God will do something with it. But I want you to notice, first of all, this lady is named John. In John 12, he gives you another account of this, and he names this lady as Mary, the sister of Martha, and she was also the sister of Lazarus, whom Christ raised from the dead. And those three are a real picture. You have a picture of Lazarus. He pictures, when Jesus rose him from the dead, he pictures our walk in Jesus Christ, new life. And you have Martha, who pictures our service as she was seemingly always serving. And then here's Mary, who pictures our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was more concerned about that than the rest. Now, I said last night, the disciples did not understand why Christ was going to die and rise from the dead. That was hidden from them. And even after he arose, they didn't believe the accounts of the people who saw him, at least till they met him themselves. But there was one who actually understood it. And it was this lady here, Mary. And if you look, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why trouble ye her?" He said, "She hath wrought a good work on me. And that good work was, she hath come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Now, how is it that the Lord would reveal that to her and the rest of them didn't get it? She got it. But if you'll look quickly in Luke chapter 10, at the end of the chapter, it says, "It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." And notice, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was a good Laodicean believer. She was just overburdened with serving, and that's all she was concerned with. And notice what he says. They came to him, and she said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And notice what Jesus says. He answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Boy, that's the day we're living in. And the government won't help you, man. They'll see to it that everything is a confused mess. I mean, they'll investigate Russia for the next 20 years until, you know, Gog and Magog get cleaned out on the hills of Israel. I mean, the government ain't going to help you at all. And so, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And the good part was, Mary was sitting at his feet and hearing his word and believing it. And so when Jesus said, "I'm going to be delivered up, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified," she believed it and she got it. And so for that reason, she understood it. So you and I, if we want to be pleasing to the Lord, we're going to have to be good Bible students. We're going to have to sit at his feet and hear his word, and we're going to have to believe it. Amen. There's plenty in this Bible I don't understand, but I believe every bit of it. Amen. I believe in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. That's why we're here. I believe when he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, I believe that's how it all started. There was a man named Adam, a woman named Eve. She was the mother of all living, and here we are. And I believe one day after a while, he'll wind it all up. He said it, and I believe it, and, you know, that's all there is to it. I mean, either you believe him or you don't, and most of the world don't. We're living in a socialistic, humanistic society, and they really don't believe what God said about it. That's why you got all these new versions and a new one coming out about every 6 months. I mean, them publishers are infested with the old nature too. I mean, they're trying to make money off this thing because the Bible is popular. If you're saved, you certainly ought to have a King James Bible, and it ought to be in a place where you can get your hands on it. Queen Victoria for 63 years ruled the British Empire, and beside of the throne on a small table was a King James Bible. And when asked by a visiting dignitary what was the secret of their success, because the saying was, "The sun never sets on the British Empire," and when he asked her that, she pointed to that table and said, "That book is the secret of our success." She honored the living God. She had a sense of morality that come from the Word of God. And boy, I'll tell you, she wouldn't even trade with nations that wouldn't accept the Word of God into their country. And she put out to the tune of about 8 million copies a year of the Word of God all over the world for those 63 years that she ruled the British Empire. That's why England was a great nation. And if America falls, it'll be because they've canned this book. And when they can this book, God will can America. That's all there is to it. That's what happened to England. They got rid of Queen Victoria. They got rid of the Word of God. They began to go with Westcott and Hort's perversions. And man, England lost all of their colonies. And you look at them today, they're not even a fifth-rate power. God canned them. And America will be no different. I'm telling you, this book is important. This book is important to God. And it's important to you and I. God expects us to read it. He expects us to honor it. He expects us to believe it. And so Mary chose that good part. I hope you'll do it today, ladies, men, young people, old people. I hope this book's important to you. When I got saved, this book became my best friend. I've read it every day for the last 43 years, and I don't intend to quit. As long as I'm able and can see, I'm going to read it. And if I get to where I can't see, well, I can't put in tapes and listen. I can't hear. I may have to learn Braille. I don't know. I came in the office one day, and Matthew was sitting in there. Of course, he was blind. And I said, "What are you reading?" And he showed me his Bible. And I looked at that thing. It was just a bunch of little bumps. It was a Braille Bible. I thought, well, he laughed about it. He thought it was funny. I thought, well, man, how would I know what you're reading? But he was reading. And this lady, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and hearing his word and believing it. And the Lord said, "She hath chosen that good part." I'm going to tell you, it's good to serve. It really is. It's good to be involved in God's work. But don't be like Jimmy Carter. Don't be like Barack and Bernie Sanders and put the second commandment above the first. They major on the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's not the first commandment. That's the humanistic point of view. Now, Bernie, he's a good socialist. He wants to take your money and give it to those that don't deserve it and haven't earned it. I mean, that's what socialism's all about. It's taken from those that have and give them to them that have not so you can collect some votes. But he ain't going to give none of his. Now, he's a millionaire. He drives around a $750,000 car and owns four houses. You think he's going to give up any of that? These people that are always concerned about the poor, they're willing to give up your money, but they're not none of theirs. It's like that old Scottish lady told her son, "You beware of any man that's concerned about the poor that's never been poor himself." And boy, that's the truth. And so the Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." That is the first and the great commandment. So I hope today that's true with you. She hath done what she could. She loved the Lord beyond all else. Now, notice first of all, Mary gave sacrificially. This box of spikenard that she had, it was very precious. This alabaster box that contained this ointment, this spikenard was perfume that came from the Himalaya Mountains. And it was, in Bible times, it was very precious. And what she had here, according to what they said, was worth 300 pence. And that's about a 10-month's wages, almost a year's wages, for her to purchase that. Now, I don't know how long she may have had to save up to collect this, and I'm certain that she was saving it for a very special occasion. And so the special occasion came as far as she was concerned. She, in our society, I'd say 10 months' wages nowadays, I don't know what that would be, $15,000 maybe. So you can see, when he said it was very precious, it really was something very precious to her. You remember Moses, when God called him, Moses didn't feel qualified. None of us ever do. But the Lord said to Moses, "What's that in thine hand?" He said, "A rod." And the Lord said, "Okay." He gave it to the Lord, and what happened? The Lord gave it back to him and blessed it. And Moses used that, performing those miracles, and he went down there and delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt. David had a sling, and he took a stone, and he slew a giant. Didn't seem like much, did it? I mean, he was a shepherd boy. And there was a widow that the Lord said gave more than anybody else. She cast in two mites, which probably wasn't a half a cent. But the Lord said she gave more than all the riches everybody was given because she gave all she had. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but have you given it all to the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know. And I'm not just talking about money. Man, there's people in here with talent. There's people that can sing. There's people that can talk the barn door off of hinges off a barn door. There's people that are good at meeting people and talking to people. Could be a real witness for Jesus Christ. There's people in here with all kinds of talent. I don't know if you've done what you could. That's between you and the Lord. But she gave sacrificially. What she gave really cost her something. There was some evidence there that it was service for everybody. I mean, you think about it. Everybody. When the Holy Spirit saved you, the Bible says He divideth to every man severally as He will. He gave you a gift, something you can do for His glory. Now, I don't know what it is. And you may say, well, I don't know either. Well, I'll tell you what to do. You get in the book and read your book and pray and ask God to show you, and He'll reveal it to you. He's interested in you doing something for Him. Why not something? The Lord, He saves us by His grace and His mercy because of His death and resurrection. And then He fills us with His Spirit, and He gives us a gift that we can use for His glory. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, He rewards us for using what He gave us in the first place. You'd think it'd be the other way around. Well, I can see why at the judgment seat of Christ, they're taking their crowns off and casting them at His feet because He is worthy. You all, pardon me, that ought to make a Methodist shout this morning. Jesus Christ is still in the saving, life-changing business. He's still worthy. He's the one that ought to be praised and glorified and lifted up. And I'm certainly not against all the activities that's going to go on today, but He ought to have the preeminent place. And if He don't, well, have you done what you could? So something very precious was broken. Do you know the Lord always breaks what He blesses? If God's going to use you to any extent, He's going to break you first. Your will, your pride. I mean, don't we want what we want when we want it? I do. I mean, I have no patience, and don't pray for it. I don't want it. I'm sorry. I don't. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. If something needs to be done, I want to get after it, and I want to get after it right then. If I'm a guest preacher somewhere, I can't hold still. I'm ready to go. I want to preach. I mean, you know, cut out all the preliminaries. Let me in the pulpit. I can't wait. I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting for nothing. I mean, patience is something I don't have and don't want. But you know what? I mean, it's devastating driving down the interstate, man. I went to Florida, and there's construction from Huntsville exit all the way to Bushnell, Florida, man, 700 miles. And it's just, you just pull your hair out. You can't take it. But you know, the Lord will take you and He will break you. The things you love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Can you imagine Abraham? He had that son of promise. I mean, this was a kid that all the blessings and promises were going to go through. And God said, you take him up there on that mountain and you offer him for a sacrifice. And Abraham had such faith, he believed that God would raise him from the dead, according to Hebrews chapter 11. And he believed it so strong, he believed that God meant what he said so strong that he took a knife and he drawed back and he was getting ready to send that boy to paradise. And the Lord stopped him. Now, he had a love for his son, no doubt, but he loved the Lord more. And I declare to you today, this lady had a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was willing to give that which was the most precious to her. Can you imagine just taking $15,000, $18,000 and just hand it to the Lord and it's all you got? It's the best you got? Have you done what you could? Now, I'm not just talking about money. Have you given Him your talent? Have you given Him your time? I mean, do you spend more time, you know, video games and cell phones and Facebook and all that stuff? I'm not preaching against that today. Somebody was showing me on Facebook there, I think it was Sister Angie, had put some nice scriptures on there and some good comments. Oh, boy, that's great, man. I mean, use the thing for that. Use it for God's glory. I mean, I don't know what you're doing today. Have you done what you could? Have you been a witness for Him? Have you done what you could? I don't know. Only you can answer that. That's between you and Him. But He did say we're to love Him first and foremost. What's it ever cost you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. I'll go further. What have you done this week that only a born-again child of God would do? Now you think about that for a day or two and pray about it. You got all these cults and false religions. They attend church. They tithe. They pass out their literature. They pray. What have you done this week that only a born-again child of God would do? Boy, that's scary. That's a scary thought. We fancy we're really serving God. I hope we are. Like I said, this is not an accusation. If you're doing what you can, more power to you. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. But if you're not, well, something very precious, it was broken, but it was broken for a purpose. She gave her best. Jesus said, "She hath come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying." If you're going to do something good for somebody, do it for them while they're still alive. Don't wait till after they're gone and then lament and cry and, "Oh, I wish I would have said, I wish I would have done, I wish I would have witnessed to that person, I wish I would have, I wish I had a 2002 WS6 Ram Air Trans Am. If anybody's got about 30,000 you'd like to turn loose of, buy one, give it to me, I'll drive it." I love Trans Ams, man. You can call me the breeze. Have you done what you could? Now listen, I'm not mad at you this morning. I love you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you something that's going to carry you to the judgment seat of Christ, to where you're not naked and ashamed. Don't go home empty-handed. She had a purpose in giving what she gave. You know, you can offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And you know, sometimes when things have gone the wrong way in our lives, it's a sacrifice to praise Him. It really is. There's people that are suffering right now from bereavement. I don't have any doubt. I mean, if you listen to the radio, it's an everyday thing. And it's tough in a situation like that. Just raise your hand and say, "Lord, I want to praise You. I want to thank You." It's tough. It's a sacrifice. And we're to offer the sacrifice of praise. We're in everything. We're to give thanks. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Boy, that's tough. I know. I've been there. It's tough. But He said, do it. And here's Mary. She understood where He was headed at this point. And she said, "I want to do something for Him." And like King David, she said, "I don't want to do something that's not going to cost me something." You remember David? Now, David wanted to build the temple, and the Lord wouldn't allow it. He said, "You've been a man of war. You've shed a lot of blood, but your son can build it." And David prepared abundantly for Solomon to build that temple with multi-millions or even billions of dollars worth of riches to build that thing. I mean, he prepared with everything he could get his hands on. But at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, David said this, "I'll surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." What's it cost you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I tell you, whatever it's cost me, it's never been anything I'd worry about. The blessings of serving Him, I mean, man, I'm telling you, I could sit down and write a book. I won't, but I could write a book about all the blessings that God has sent my way. Amen. Things the world knows nothing about. Man, we've been in street meetings where the Lord showed up, and I'm telling you, you talk about having a time. You talk about having a time. People that never stick their neck out for Jesus Christ are missing a blessing. I mean, you really are. You ought to go all out for him. But you know, if you love somebody, you want to talk about them. Isn't that right? Man, I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But if you love somebody, you want to talk about them. You want to brag on them. I mean, I brag on my kids. I brag on my grandkids. They may be mean as the devil. I don't know, but I love them. My grandkids come to the house. We run all over the house, play tag in the house, jump on the beds. We just have a time. I love them. I'm thankful for them. I appreciate them. And if they're mean, well, I got a belt and we can take them to the woodshed, you know. Well, that's the way the Lord does us, isn't it? He scourges every son he receives, but it's worth it. I'm glad he does. I'm glad he loves me so much that he's willing to straighten me out when I get wrong. There's a lot of kids in this world that don't have that. I mean, you look around this world, man, you look at the police blotter. I preached in the jail for 35 years, man. I've seen kids in there. I had one young man, 18 years old. He said, I live within rock throwing distance of a church, but I've never been inside one. 18 years old, got in trouble, got in jail, never heard the gospel. 3 Monday nights I gave him hellfire and damnation and stewed it down to a fine poison. And the 4th Monday night he was down on that old stone floor weeping his way to Calvary, and he found out Jesus Christ is real and he's still saving sinners. And it don't matter how far you've gone the wrong way, he can still save you and clean you up and turn you around and do something with you. Amen. Have you done what you could? Can you name anybody this morning you've led to Christ? Mm-mm. What she gave for a purpose. She gave it for she knew what the Lord Jesus Christ was about to face. Have you done what you could? She displayed an act of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look on here in a minute, but you're going to notice anytime you stick your neck out for Jesus Christ, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be somebody that ain't going to like it. A few years ago, we were preaching over in Gatlinburg there in the street, and this fellow came up, said he was a preacher, and he may have been, but he told us how sorry and low down and good for nothing we were for preaching in the street. Isn't that something? Most of the opposition that we've ever faced has been from professing Christians. It really is. Store owners that say, oh, I'm saved and I love the Lord. Don't you preach out here in front of my store. Isn't that something? You'd think if you was really in love with the Lord, you'd want to see other sinners come to Christ. Wouldn't you? You got family members, have you witnessed to them? Neighbors, co-workers, have you witnessed to them? Fellow students, have you done what you could? I don't know. I hope you have. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is precious. Do you believe that? Amen. Is he precious to you this morning? Would you rather hear him as to hear Leonard Skinner? Amen. Would you rather have communion with him as to, you know, play War of the Worlds or whatever these games are nowadays? Would you rather? I don't know. Man, I'm just throwing stuff out here. I'm not making any accusations. I don't know where you're at. Have you done what you could? Well, he's alive. Amen. He's real. And he wants to fellowship with you. But sin will separate. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Have you done what you could? Well, she performed a good work. An act of worship, an act of love to the Lord Jesus Christ is never wrong. And I don't care if it's in a public place. And like I said the other night, you don't have to make a monkey out of yourself. I'm glad this morning I don't have a monkey for a mother, amen. I'm glad I ain't like Charlie Darwin. If I need some comfort, I didn't have to go down to the zoo and, you know, holler, Mama, please come here. I got a banana for you, you know. Now, I didn't have a monkey for a mother. No, sir. Amen. I knew my mom and dad, neither one of them were monkeys. And it's a fact, I had some relatives in my past that hung by their neck, but none of them hung by their tail. Amen. Now, if you want to believe you came from a monkey, it's free country. But I didn't. No, sir. When I die, I'll go where the saved sinners go, and when you die, you'll go where the good monkeys go. But this lady, she got it. And she performed a good work on the Lord Jesus Christ. She'd heard His word. She believed it. Open display of the love for the Lord is proper and right. And it don't disturb me at all if somebody around here raises their hand and shouts a little. I mean, it gets good sometimes, don't it? And you just get filled up and you just get overjoyed and you just can't contain it. You know, ladies, it'd do you good to raise your hand down here at the church and praise the Lord instead of just raising your hand at home at your husband. It's good for you. Man, just have a shouting fit. Glory to God. I mean, He saved me. He's alive. He's real. He's coming again. The best is yet to come for God's people. I'm just going to have me a time. I do it on a regular basis. I've done it. I've been going down the interstate, going to work of a morning. I was working over in Clinton. I'd pull my vehicle off the interstate and get out and just run around my truck shouting. I'd be listening to preaching on the radio. No, man, Mace Jackson would get to preaching. The truck driver special. Boy, he'd get to preaching on there. I'd just pull over, man, and I'd just get out and take a shouting fit and run around my truck and shout a while. And people driving by and looking, they thought I'd lost my mind. I said, hey, man, I probably have, but don't worry about it. I'm harmless. I'm happy. I mean, really, I'm just happy. I'm saved. I'm happy. My kids are saved, and the grandkids that are of legal age are saved, and I'm happy. I mean, God has blessed this old sinner more than he ever deserved. And so this lady didn't care about public opinion. And she wasn't worried about being humiliated. If you humble yourself in the sight of God, you'll be exalted. And a whole lot of what's wrong nowadays is people are proud and self-righteous, and they don't want to humble themselves. If you'll notice, I won't turn there and read it, but in John's account, she anoints his feet. And here in this account, she pours this on his head and anoints his head. Now, in the Old Testament, when they anointed a prophet or a priest or a king, that's what they did. They anointed their head with the ointment. And so Jesus fulfilled all three offices. Not only is a prophet, but he's also a priest. And he's also going to be a king. He'll be crowned one day, Lord of all. When they bring forth that royal diadem, I'll be there when they crown him Lord of all. Amen. I'll get to be a part of it. But she didn't worry about what they thought. And there were some there that had indignation. And John tells you, he breaks it down. They were in the house of Simon the leper. And evidently a man Jesus had healed. And they were having a supper. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were all there. And Martha was serving as usual. And Mary just decided to perform an act of worship. And those that had indignation were the disciples. But primarily, the ringleader was Judas Iscariot, a devil. And there's always some devil around that'll complain when you're doing something for Jesus Christ. Well, I believe we ought to have done it this way. Well, if I was in charge, I'll tell you what we'd do. You know, there's always some old billy goat in the church. Well, he's a good preacher, but he's a good man, but she's a good woman, but, and they're always butting something around, some old billy goat. They can sit in the living room and lick a skillet in the kitchen, probably. But this Judas Iscariot wasn't nothing but a thief. According to John chapter 12, I'll read this quickly and I'll move on. I promise I'll get you out of here on time. But in John chapter 12, he said this. Judas Iscariot said, we could give this to the poor. That's what LBJ said, wasn't it? We've got a war on poverty. If he'd read the Bible, he'd know better than that. Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. There are always going to be poor folks around. And you can do good to them anytime you take a notion. But he wasn't going to be around here in the flesh much longer. And Mary understood that. And so she wanted to do something for him before he was gone. And I say again, if you need to do something Do it while they're still around. Don't wait till they're gone and then cry boo-hoo, crocodile tears, I wish I would have. Judas complained and said, we could have sold this for more than 300 pence. But the Lord said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put there. And he was skimming off the top. He was the treasurer for the group, and he was pocketing a whole lot of that money. Now, this is not about money this morning, but does the Lord have your pocketbook? I don't know. Like I said, I'm not making any accusations. I'm just preaching. But an open display of love for Christ ought to be displayed while you can do it, before the government shuts it down. I mean, I've read how things are going to wind up. Eventually, socialism is going to rule the world. And we need to be about his business while we're able, and do it without being cumbered about much serving. Don't get so busy for Jesus Christ that you leave him out of it. He is to have the preeminent place. She hath done what she could. There was a lady named Fanny Crosby. If you look in the hymn book, you'll see all kinds of hymns in there she wrote. But the inscription on her tombstone says, she hath done what she could. At 6 weeks, she was blinded for the rest of her life. But you read those hymns that she wrote, and I guarantee you she could see a whole lot better than most folks through blinded eyes. Sweet fellowship. Well, you think about something. Blinded at 6 weeks. You imagine the first thing she saw physically was the Lord Jesus Christ. When she laid down and gave up the ghost and stepped out of her body over to the other side, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The first thing she saw was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Boy, isn't that an amazing thing? She missed out on all the garbage, all the filth. She didn't see all the trash that Hollywood can produce. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Boy, that's condemning. Now, most of us do daily. We get immersed in that blue light that filters off of that thing. Now, I got a television and I watch it more than I ought to. I don't fool with Facebook and I don't fool with a cell phone. Honestly, I waste too much time the way it is. And I've seen how people handle those things. They're addictive. Now, if you can handle them, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just preaching. And it's between you and God what you do with it. Have you done what you could? Do you spend more time on Facebook than you do praying? Gosh, oh. She hath done what she could. She faced opposition. Obviously you will. But our service is to be for the glory of God. If you're doing what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't matter what anybody thinks about it. If you're leading singing for the glory of God, it don't matter what people think about it. If Trinity Baptist Church is serving God for the glory of God, I don't care what other people think about our church. I don't care if they like our services and the way we conduct them. I really don't. Man, I'm glad to be here. I've been a member of this church for, I don't know, more than 20 years, I'm sure. And I love it. I love my pastor. I love my assistant pastor. I've been acquainted with them for a long, long time. I know what kind of men they are. I know they got a prayer life. I know they're concerned about the lost. I know they're in love with Jesus Christ. They want to serve him. And I know we preach and teach and practice sound doctrine here. Why would I want to be anywhere else? And if people like our church, I'm thankful. I want to see people come to our church. I want to see them get in and be a part of it and do something for Jesus Christ. I really do. But if they don't, oh well. It's not going to keep me from doing what I know I ought to be doing. If people pat me on the back and say, boy, you're a good preacher, I'll say, okay. I really don't know how to react to that kind of stuff. I'm not looking for that. I don't need that. I honestly don't. If you appreciate me, I'm thankful for you. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. But if you don't, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. That's all there is to it. I'm going to preach in the street. I'm going to preach on the radio. I'll preach in pulpits when I get a chance. I'll still shout and run and hoot and holler and act like an idiot. And I'm going to enjoy myself all the way till I give up the ghost and step over to the other side and just have me a time. I'll be kicking up gold dust, taking a running fit. Oh, you pardon me. I'll be more alive then than I've ever been. No more flesh, no more devil, no more world. I'll be in a place where I can think anything I want to think, do anything I want to do for as long as I want to think it and do it, and it'll never be wrong. I'll never have to check. Boy, you talk about liberty. That's liberty. But she faced opposition. Could we not have sold this for more than 300 pence and given it to the poor? Not that they cared about the poor. These politicians that are always worried about the poor, they don't give 1% of their income to a charitable organization. They're not worried about the poor. They're worried about getting reelected. That's why they promise free tuition and free housing and free all this other stuff. And what they intend to do is take it from people that have earned it and parlayed it into a fortune. They want to take it away from them, take your tax dollars, and then give it to folks that ain't earned it and won't work and don't care. Now, I'm with Paul. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat either. Amen. That's all there is to it. That's the Lord's plan. Get off you can, get a job, and go to work. And be thankful for it. Be thankful you got the health to work. Be thankful you're able. Be thankful that God provided it for you. I've never had a job that God didn't give it to me. I mean, honestly, this last job I had, I'd been working for a month before I even filled out an application. They called me. I didn't call them. They called me and said, "You want a job?" I said, "No." I was piddling around with a part-time job, and they called back and said, "Well, why don't you come talk to us?" So I finally did, and I'd been praying. I mean, the Lord knew what I needed, and the Lord walked me right into it. I didn't even apply for it. And it works that way. You put Him first, and you'll never go wrong. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And then, thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if I can find that guy that loves his neighbor as himself, I'm going to move next door to him. That way, if he buys a new car, he'll buy me one. Hey, that's right. Why, Jimmy Carter, he builds you a house. You know, meek shall inherit the earth and all that stuff. Well, Mary faced opposition. Judas Iscariot, the devil, the treasurer, who was skimming off the top. The love of money is still the root of all evil. He said, "Why, this is just a waste." That's the way the world looks at it. You folks are crazy, wasting your talents, wasting your time, wasting your ability. Why, just think of what you could do. Why, you have a college degree, you could be earning all this money. Mm-mm. What a waste. Why, you're just down here in a little old church in the back end of nowhere serving God and doing what He told you to do the way He told you to do it. What a waste. Have you done what you could? I hope you have. You'll attract criticism when you're serving Him. Some of you folks that are involved, I mean, out here, I know at the high school we got a lot of saved teachers and in the school system, and they do what they can to be a witness. And I guarantee you, you're going to catch some criticism for it. There'll be those that ain't going to appreciate it. The world ain't going to appreciate it, and you've got all these atheistic organizations that every time somebody puts a verse of Scripture up somewhere, they run in and sue them and demand they remove it and, you know, freedom of speech and all that stuff. You'll hear criticism. This lady was criticized, but she didn't waver. Mary had made her mind up, "I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ, for His glory, and it don't matter what anybody thinks about it." Now, when it comes to salvation, have you done what you could? I've had people tell me, many people, even lately, "Well, I just believe you got to live it." And I ask them, "Are you living it?" "Well, no." Well, if you got to live it and you're not living it, then what hope do you have? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you can't live it and you're not living it, then how in the world are you going to make it? Have you done what you could when it comes to salvation? The Philippian jailer asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you done what you could? you're sitting here today and you've never been saved, have you done what you could? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Have you done what you could? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Amen. Have you done what you could? Have you believed on him? People say, well, I've been baptized. Have you believed on him? I joined a church. Have you believed on him? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Well, I hope you have. The Bible says this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Have you done what you could? If you've never trusted him alone for salvation, you haven't done what you could. Have you given it all to him? Now, I'm about done. I said I'd get us out of here on time, and I will. Have you done what you could? I don't know. I speak for myself. I haven't. I could do more. I could do more studying. I could do more praying. I could do more witnessing. I could do more street preaching. I could do more, sure. And money, sure. Money's involved. I could give more, sure. I'm being honest. I'm just being honest before you. I'm not condemning anybody other than myself. Have you done what you could? She hath done what she could. Have you? Well, I hope you have. If you haven't, there's still time. We're still here. We're still alive. We still have opportunity to serve. You ought to make your mind up this morning. I'm going to make my mind up right now. I'm going to surrender it to him. I'm going to give him my pocketbook. I'm going to give him my time. I'm going to give him my effort. I'm going to give him my talent. I'm going to give him me. And I'm going to put him first. And I promise you, if you'll make that commitment, he'll help you. I know the world, the flesh, and the devil's against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's plenty that can be against us. But he goes on to say they'll not prevail, because the living God is on our side. Will you bow your heads? I'm done. I said I'd finish. I did. I will. Always more we can say, but I won't. But let me say this simply. If you need to do business this morning, you do it. All right? If you need to do business, you do it. I don't know what God may have said to any of you. All I know is what he told me. Have you done what you could? Father, thank you again for this time.